The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, Mike and Michelle. This is Rick P. from Crystal Lake, Illinois, and just want to say that I just love the Mickey Miles Podcast. Keep doing what you're doing.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 248 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and on this podcast, we will be continuing our discussion of the inaugural Star Wars race weekend with Mark Lorenzo, Lee Zimmerman, Laura Galbraith, Eddie McCoy, and of course, Michelle Scribner-McLean and myself. We will pick it up as we start our discussion of the 10K and the half marathon, together known as the Rebel Challenge. Let's now move on to the 10K, and let's turn to Lee. Can you tell us how the morning of the pre-race morning went for the 10K?
Well, as we always talk about the Disneyland races, the nice thing about the pre-race is it's always shorter than the Disney World. Yes. You know, we were out there because we were doing pictures and stuff like that. We left about an hour before start time and wandered out. As Laura said, it was interesting because normally if you're staying in the Grand, you wander kind of the long way around into downtown Disney. But there were cast members actually pointing us out the front door, which made perfect sense if you wanted to go direct to the corrals. Like she said, we had a little bit of a hard time actually finding the start slash finish area where we were meeting up with everybody. That was really nicely set up. I thought they did an awesome job with the stage. The stage and the DJ and the entertainment they had there was really, really well themed. And I think I didn't see the 5K pre-race, but certainly for the 10K and the half, because they have such a wealth of video content that they can pull from. They did a really, really nice job of, you know, kind of putting together entertainment clips that kind of built up through the classic three episodes, 4, 5, and 6 of Star Wars. They had Rudy involved in, you know, being kidnapped by the dark side or fighting the dark side and, you know, saved by the Jedi Master and stuff like that. So I thought the pre-show was nice. The corrals were big. They were convenient. At least when I was there, there was lots and lots of restrooms. I mean, it's the shortest lines I think I've ever seen for the restrooms, and lots of cast members who were telling you where to go. It was a little bit bizarre that when you left the start finish area and headed for the corrals, they sent you all the way back kind of behind the Paradise Pier Hotel, which put you in the middle of the corral. So if you were up front, then you ended up retracing your steps and kind of going up the Disneyland Drive or whatever that is, you know, towards the front corrals. It seems like they could have split the crowd a little bit and done a A, B, and C this way and C, D, and E the other way. But that was my impression of the pre-race.
Okay, Laura, let's go to the corral activities. How did you feel about the corrals? How did they handle them? Can you compare them with the other Disneyland races? What did you think of the size of the corrals and the release of the corrals?
So the size of the corrals for the 10K, I thought 10K was pretty good. There was still plenty of room in the corrals when we got there. We were in Corral B, and getting to them, like Lee was saying, we had to kind of take the long way around, but which is unusual for a Disneyland race. And so that aspect of it, we were saying, wow, this is like being back at Disney World with this half mile walk to the start corrals, because that's just different than what we're used to at Disneyland, where they're usually pretty close. But they were doing the usual thing where they made us show our bibs and making sure that people were going into the corral that they really should have been in. They had enough screens up that you could see what was going on the stage, even though we could not see the stage. Like Mark was saying, the road kind of takes a dip there and goes underneath. So where we were in Corral B, the stage was down below, kind of down below on the other side. So we couldn't see the stage at all from where we were, except on the big video screen, but that was fine. There was, like I said, enough room in the corrals on Saturday for the 10K. For the half marathon on Sunday, though, I don't think the corrals were quite big enough. Now, the corral release, I think they were about 5 minutes apart. But again, we were in B, so we only experienced the release of A and B. So, and we were almost 6-7 minutes for our time, our net time versus the clock time off the start. And that was in B, which is, that's a little bit long with the corral release they've been doing lately.
But again, it makes sense with the wheelchair start and then 5 minutes to the corral B start. Yeah. So 6 minutes would be about right.
Yeah, it was longer for the half.
And I was in C, corral C, but I caught up to you, to Lee, Laura and Lee and Eddie, so they must have made some stops.
Yeah, we did.
All right. Before we ask about your costumes, Eddie, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I wanted you to talk about the race course, if you wouldn't mind, for the 10K.
Let Laura guide through the race course. She knows the area so much more. But, I mean, Laura, you give us the race course. You know the streets better than I do.
Well, we were It was a great course in that a lot of the time was on Disney property. We were outside for the first mile and a half, kind of going around the perimeter of Disneyland, first on the north side and then over on the east side of the park. Then we went backstage. Well, actually, we went in through the, down Main Street, and we ran around Disneyland, went through Tomorrowland. Like Mark was saying, none of these races went through the castle, which was quite unusual for Disney races. On the other hand, these were Star Wars themed races, so Tomorrowland was really kind of the focus of it. So it was good that we spent some time there. We got to run by Small World, which is still all lit up. And so that was nice. We went quite a ways around the perimeter of Disneyland backstage. We went through about 2/3 of Disneyland backstage, which was a little bit odd. Not very scenic, but there were a number of cast members back there cheering us on. So that was good. We went across the Esplanade, went into California Adventure, and down Buena Vista Street.
Towards Aladdin.
Yeah, towards Aladdin, towards the Hyperion. So when we were going by, we were looking at the character lines, and they were just really ridiculously long. So we didn't stop. And we heard later from people who waited that you were talking, you know, a 20-minute, 30-minute, 40-minute wait to get your picture taken with Chewbacca or something like that. And we just said, no thanks.
So, Laura, do you think they had extra characters to kind of compensate for this issue? It doesn't sound like it.
No, they didn't.
Well, they did. So they put more out for the half than they had for the 10K. But we added up. There was basically 6 character stops for the half. Which
for the 10K.
Or for the 10K. You would think Disney would eventually figure out that they need a bunch more character stops for these races for in the parks in order to not have, you know, a 20-minute line at every one of them. It's the math shouldn't be that hard on it, but they don't seem to change very much.
So basically if you're a back of the packer, you're out of luck.
Pretty much. I mean, you may get one character, but you're going to have to pick, because if you're back of the pack, a lot of times you're in the back because you're going to be close on finishing in time. Mm-hmm. So you can't afford to stand in a 20-minute line for a character and if you're worried about getting swept.
Well, and Eddie, Laura, and I at Tinkerbell last year demonstrated sort of the worst case on this one. Again, Tinkerbell was this weekend Star Wars was, so we had done Dopey the weekend before. And so we goofed off, stopped and took every picture we could and had a great time. But we started at the very front of Corral A and we finished not very far ahead of the folks at the end of the race. And we all run, you know, a 10-minute pace or better, and we had booked it towards the end of the race. So yeah, you cannot just goof off even for a Disney 10K and actually not get swept given the amount of time that you can spend standing in line taking pictures, which is unfortunate because that's what makes a Disney 10K a Disney 10K.
And the one thing I noticed, they had Boba Fett on there too, which he wasn't there the day before. Most of the characters were there for the 5K, for the 10K, but they added that one and the line was long.
Yeah.
So I was just a comment before I have a question for Eddie. I think that the more characters you add, I think that what that does is that it creates shorter lines, and I think it also creates or eliminates as many bottlenecks as you normally would have in the park. So that's why I think the more characters, the better. Eddie, I wanted to ask you if you could compare how Run Disney handles the 10K races, and there aren't that many, the ones on the East Coast versus the ones on the West Coast, which coast do you think is run better and why?
Run better and what's a better race would be two different questions. I think systematically Disneyland or Disney World has the racing corral system figured out a little better than Disneyland. Disneyland, it's just they're huge corrals. They're just really big corrals, much more bigger or much more in size to Disney World. So that's so you get more of a spread, I believe, in Disney World than you do actually at Disneyland. But Disneyland, you have two parks, so you're going to spend majority of the race on property and in a park. Whereas Disney World, I mean, let's face it, they're all the only 10Ks right now that are run at Epcot. And basically the only thing you get is running through World Showcase on the boardwalk and back through the Journey to Imagination's Living in the Seas and out the front. So it's very limited. I think the ones at Disney World may be a little bit better run, but the ones at Disneyland are a much better race.
Okay, so Lee and Laura, we know you guys did costumes. Mark, I don't think you did, and Eddie, I don't think you did.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
All three races, yeah.
Okay, so why don't you briefly tell us about your costumes, and then we'll go to Lee and Laura.
Okay, so the 5K, I was, let me remember, Boba Fett, so I had a T-shirt and kind of matching shorts and attire. That's about as far as I go with a costume, but this is the first time I've actually worn a costume other than like a Mickey Miler shirt. I don't know if that counts as a costume, but and the 10K, I was an X-Wing fighter pilot. So they were basically Disney shirts that are printed. Some of them had printed in front and back. So I think all of them did. And then the half, I was Darth Vader.
Wow, that's cool.
Darth Vader Mickey ear helmet. So the whole race. I've never done that before, and I don't know if I'll do it again. But
and just for the record, Mickey Milo shirt is serious running gear. Okay. Lee and Laura.
Well, so I hadn't planned to run in costume until let's see, Wednesday before the race on Saturday morning. I said, "Oh, I could do Queen Amidala." So I ran the 10K as Queen Amidala in the red getup with the white face and the red lips and makeup, and it looked I was really pleased with how it came out. I got a lot of compliments on it, and the makeup actually was not uncomfortable. It wasn't, you know, didn't make me perspire over much, everything else, though I did have to catch myself from wiping my face. But So that was really a lot of fun, and I enjoyed doing that. I didn't see any other Amidalas dressed like me, so I was pretty happy about that. For the race Sunday, because I'd used up all my creativity on Amidala, I just ran in my Cinderella costume that I'd worn the week before for the marathon. And it was interesting because I did not see any other Disney characters really out on the course. So I actually garnered a fair bit of attention from people who, you know, yelled out, "Cinderella, go Cinderella," and things like that.
So I was going to ask if people were paying attention and taking pictures with you.
Well, no, they weren't taking pictures with me, but they would at least give me a shout out when I ran by. So that was nice.
And Lee?
So for the 10K, I did a variation. I have a Luke Skywalker from episode 6 during the Boba Fett Palace outfit, not to be confused with Anakin Skywalker because it's all black. I have one of those that I wear at Comic-Con.
Who would do
sometimes.
That?
Nerd alert.
Yeah. And so I tweaked that with a tech shirt instead of the very nice overlay that my wife had made me a couple years ago, and ran as Luke, which made it entertaining because basically that meant I was running the 10K with my dead mother.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know we were going to get deeply psychological during this podcast. How did that make you feel?
There were issues on the course.
And then Sunday I ran as an X-Wing pilot, but I couldn't actually find the really nice dye sublimation ready-made costume shirts.
Like Mark had.
So I actually had made, I'm now going to call it the X-Wing, you know, tropical uniform or workout uniform of bright orange shirts and shirt and shorts, and then kind of a white overlay for the flak vest that I'm going to have to work on for next year, because there were a lot of X-Wing pilots and I think I was the worst looking one out there. So, you know, it's raised the bar for me.
It's on.
Well, he says white shirt, he means white beater.
Oh my goodness.
Cut off white beater. So that's even worse.
Oh boy. So, you know, if you are friends with Lee and Laura on Facebook, you get to see a glimpse into the workshop, of the costume workshop. I was interesting to see your dining room table with the cat on it and all the stuff that you're doing to get ready for these races.
That's what happens when you wait until 2 days before to actually sew a costume.
You guys are also hardcore. All right, Mike?
I wanted to, actually.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. John Beale, one of our friends of the podcast, made a really cool Fast Pass costume, which actually was designed to read about, about Star Wars. It was really neat. It said, the length of the race and things like that. I think that was for the 10K.
Eddie, did you have a costume or no?
I ran in my Mickey Mouse jersey.
Oh, awesome.
Hardcore,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, just for that, he's going to have to
Eddie only wears tutus. That's his only costume.
Speaking of costumes, just before we get off of that, I have to mention Kimberly Torres, Marky, and Gail Savage. Their costumes were crazy, incredible. The first day, Kim was an X-Wing fighter pilot with the X-Wing fighter, and then Gail was a TIE Wing fighter. And then the second day, Kim was CP3O and Gail was R2D2. The third day, they were both Stormtrooper pixies and just amazing costumes. I don't know how they do it.
Kim told me that they were their costumes were going to be epic, and
they weren't
they Mary Poppins, Mike?
Mary Poppins, yeah. So I didn't know, you know, not many people realize that Mary Poppins actually appeared in Star Wars. Anyways, I wanted to go to Eddie to take us through the, rather than talk about, you know, where the course was and we went through this street and whatever, I'd like to get everyone's general ideas and opinions on the half marathon. I want to start with Eddie. Take us, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, what you would change if you had an opportunity to tweak it for next year.
You know, I've been doing some thinking about it. Before this race, Tinkerbell was by far my favorite Disneyland half. And this race, to me, overtook Tinkerbell. I know I may be the only one that believes that, but or has that opinion. But the First of all, the temperatures running at this time of the year, I don't know if we mentioned it, it's about the high 40s, low 50s, and with very little humidity. So, I mean, yes, you're cold with just a t-shirt on, but it's not terrible. And, you know, t-shirt and shorts are like perfect running weather. So the weather's just absolutely perfect, and the sun comes up. It's just awesome. But the course, it did go it spent a good bit of time, not as much as Tinkerbell did in the parks. But when we left the parks, I liked that. That may be my favorite part of any of the Disneyland races I ran. We ran just out towards an old city called, I guess a historic city called Garden Grove. I mean, I'm not familiar with the area, but it ended up being there was a back and forth and in and out section once you left the parks where I actually saw the leader coming back in about mile six, something like that. And but then you went out and it's all, you got all the hotels and the restaurants, and it's there was not really an industrial type area. Then we went into a neighborhood area, then into the historic city, and it kind of came its way. It made its way back to the one way, and you finish heading back in. But the course, just absolutely loved it. I liked it. You had the out and back. I like out and backs where you can see other people coming and going. And granted, it wasn't but about a mile of that section, but I thought that was very cool. And it's very flat. It didn't have, once you left the parks, it didn't have the turn. If you wanted to run a fast race, this to me would be the race to run. I mean, Tinkerbell may, but now that it's in May, I don't know what the weather is quite like in May, but this would be a fast course. It's just set up, it's wide open, and I'm very much a fan of it.
Mark, what did you like about the race?
So I really, really liked this course. It was flat and fast. And so the first 4 miles are in the parks. But then when you get on Harbor Boulevard, it was kind of cool. Like Eddie said, seeing the runners coming at you, that they had already passed mile 11 and you hadn't even passed mile 5 yet. But I had a really strange thing that I didn't believe I saw happen to be between mile 4 and 5 is, I guess there was a wild coyote that ran right out in front of me through the runners frantically trying to get across the street, and it kept zigzagging. At first I thought it might be rabid because I'd never seen anything like that before, and it kept, because you know there's hundreds of people going by, and it kept zigzagging in the runners looking frantically for a way to get through them. Finally it made it across, and then there was traffic on the other side of the street because they had half the street open. I think it's like a 4-lane street. It just barely got missed getting hit by a car, but it got away. So, but it was just the strangest thing. I didn't even think to, you know, pull out my cell phone and record it.
Roadrunner, was he?
I don't know. No, I didn't see a roadrunner.
The Wild West. First, we have tumbleweeds, and then we have coyotes.
Well, what the heck's going on out there?
I think on the news, I guess it's quite common in major cities now, where they have urban coyotes, I guess they call them. But I knew it wasn't a dog, and I'd never seen anything like that before. So people were, like, gasping. It was only, like, 30, 40 feet in front of me.
Were people in line to take pictures with it?
Well, no, it happened so fast. It happened so fast that, you know, nobody even got out their phone and recorded. I was surprised at that one, you know, because then it would have been a viral hit in YouTube.
Yeah.
So then going on from that, I think it was mile 6 or 7, they had some cosplay out, which was pretty cool.
But like they did with Avengers.
Yeah, but the really coolest part, I think, is between mile 8 and 9, they had the 501st. And those things, those guys in their costumes are totally authentic. I mean, they could be in the movie. They just were amazing. I'm sure everybody will talk about that, too. And the finish, you know, it was a pretty fast race, and I liked it.
Lee and Lara, your opinions, please.
Well, so I like the course. I still like the Tinkerbell course the best, just because it spends a little more time in the parks or on Disney property than this one does. But this is a great course. This is my second favorite now. Like everybody said, it's so wide. It was so easy running on it because I never felt crowded at all. Even when we were in the parks, I really didn't feel crowded in this race, which was very nice. And it was just a great course. It was nice to see some new areas of the area around Disneyland. And, you know, good job, Run Disney. Thank you.
So, like everybody else, I like the course. It may just be because it's my most recent one, but I'm with Eddie. I think it may be my favorite of the four courses that they have now. Absolutely loved both the official cosplay area, sort of between miles 8 and 9, and then there were people who had just showed up and stationed themselves on the course. I mean, around like mile 5, there was a guy in a full Chewy suit who was standing on the median taking pictures with people who had a stormtrooper costume that was stuffed with a sign that said, you know, free hugs. And, you know, he was great. And then there were Jedi and stormtroopers and Imperial guards and all kinds of stuff along the way. And then I thought they also, you know, the Disney, because so much of the Disneyland races are outside of the park and they don't put official Disney characters out there, they normally do a good work of getting civic groups involved. And so there were 4 or 5, I would say, high school marching bands along the way. Most of them actually were doing a good job of playing, you know, Star Wars music. So they seemed to be having a kick doing that. And then just the good 100+ cosplay folks that they had come out. That was really, really, really fun. Made for really a nice race experience.
Boy, this is going to present a problem, Michelle, because if I'm thinking about doing more than one race at the 2016 Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, and of course we've got the Mickey Mouse podcast cruise and the Castaway Key Challenge, and now I'm thinking maybe I could do that, and maybe go out to do Star Wars. I don't know. It
sounds tempting.
Very tempting, very tempting.
There were people who did it.
I know.
Yeah. Dave Dunkowski is one person who did it. Yep. Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention, guys, is too that talking about Star Wars music. So while you're running through the parks, they're playing all Star Wars music. So instead of Disney music, they're playing Star Wars, which is really cool.
So you would all do it again?
Oh yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
No, I am doing it again.
Does that impact your I mean, all of you on this podcast usually do the January race weekend. Does that impact your plans at all, or just you pretty much do the same thing, do the races you did in January and then head out to Star Wars?
Well, we're retired from marathons now, so So we won't be doing the marathon in January.
So we haven't missed a January at Walt Disney World in a long time. So we haven't quite figured out whether we're going to do marathon weekend or not, but we definitely will do this. And Disney making it a challenge for us, because now there's a couple back-to-back weekends, because we can do the same thing for Wine and Dine
and Avengers.
Yes.
Two opportunities to do that 9-day or 2 weeks. And some of us are doing a cruise between Wine and Dine and Avengers. So that's twice a year that you could have the opportunity to have an epic Disney bi-coastal on water running adventure. But it's very nice of them to set it up that way.
So you run, eat, run.
Yeah.
And you get your coast to coast really quickly too.
They did
wristbands this year, not photos. They did photos for the Rebel Challenge, but wristbands for the coast to coast.
Before we let you guys go, I'd like to go around and just say, did you guys like the medals?
Yes, except that the half marathon medal does not say inaugural on it.
Oh yes, I read that. I read that you said that.
And I heard that the half marathon medal reflects a hidden Mickey, but I'm not sure. I haven't verified that yet.
Wow.
And I don't know what the symbol is. I still haven't figured out what that symbol is on the half marathon.
But they're awesome medals. It is interesting that which one's the one that's double-sided?
The Rebel Challenge.
Yeah, the Rebel Challenge has a spinner that, you know, you can either be Yoda or Darth Vader, and you can even turn the ribbon around and either have the ribbon that matches the Darth Vader or Yoda. So it is intriguing when you look at the characters that they have out, and you look at the medal, that we seem to be giving equal opportunity to the light side and the dark side, which really doesn't seem very Disney to me. But
I think we're gonna have to charge Run Disney marketing people and send them a bill, because this sounds like an advertisement for Star Wars weekends for sure. So we want to thank you guys. Lee and Laura, thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Mark, thank you very much. And that was quite a story. You had quite a trek. And Eddie, as always, we'll see you, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks.
And so for these unbelievable people and these crazy runners, and for Michelle Scrooge-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, may the force be with you.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com, and by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying, until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.